Horseshoes, rabbit's feet, four-leaf clovers? Get real. You don't rely on lucky charms to get more profit potential. Because you know that great yields thrive on science, not superstition. So protect your crop with Miravis Neo Fungicide, proven to outperform, outlast, and outyield all the rest. To see your best yields, trust Miravis Neo Fungicide, because you don't need luck. You need an edge. Ask your Syngenta retailer about Miravis Neo now. Always read and follow label instructions.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Hello and welcome back to Chronicles, where today we're going to be talking all about Medea by Euripides, where once again I'm delighted to be joined by Stelios.
Hello everyone, thanks Brother Luca for inviting me about this.
Quite right.
We are going to have a good time.
Yes.
Today's a good day.
Well, we always do.
We always do. Today's a good day also, and I'm really glad you mentioned we did Euripides.
Mm.
Euripides has a sort of weird reputation, especially by those who read Nietzsche, because Nietzsche in The Birth of Tragedy, in the very beginning, sort of trashes him.
Yes.
He says he destroyed tragedy. Mm. But you reignited my passion for Euripides.
Oh, good.
Honestly, it's just Nietzsche is completely wrong.
I disagree with Nietzsche on this as well. Yeah. So one thing we need to talk about is, of course, the fact that this comes not entirely off the bat. In fact, if you're following these week to week, it might seem a little strange to just have that random blip in the middle talking about King Charles III, but I just wanted to do something to just kind of like shift it along a bit. But we meant to revisit this, didn't we? And obviously we'll want to do it whilst the Argonautica is still very fresh in our minds and whilst we've still, you know, recently explored that journey.
So question, are you saying that the episode you did on King Charles isn't an episode about the events after Jason goes back to Iolcus?
Shockingly not.
No.
Shockingly
okay,
not,
good,
no.
Good to know.
But there is another point to all of this as well, which is that, yes, Medea, the play by Euripides, chronologically takes place after the tale of Jason and the Argonauts, of course. It is in that tale where we first meet Medea, where she is the daughter of Aeetes, who rules as like this divine king of Colchis over on the far end of the Black Sea, you know, far at the edges of the known world, and he himself is the son of the sun god Helios. And so he has a great amount of divine power and authority. And Medea is not just any normal mortal daughter. She comes from a very, very high lineage. She's semi-divine herself. And the other thing as well is that within her own family, there is a great amount of sorcery. You know, she is the niece of Circe, of the Odyssey fame, and Circe, of course, featured in the tale of Jason and the Argonauts herself. And so, though all of this has happened before we're introduced to Medea in this play, I don't want people to think that we're now talking about this as a mere epilogue to that story, because actually, Medea by Euripides is one of the most famous, the most celebrated, one of the most critically renowned Greek tragedies ever written. And so it really just stands on its own merits. In fact, you know, it's very much Euripides was part of the defining character of Medea. His like just vivid creation of her dialogue, of her inner psyche, of how volatile she is. You know, it's these things that Apollonius, 200 years later, would go to reflect on in creating his own idea of who Medea is as well. So actually, Euripides is one of the most important writers when it comes to defining her character and the legend and tragedy that we all know her for.
Absolutely. And it's one of the, as you said, one of the most popular tragedies. And it's interesting because you mentioned her background. It's in a way semi-divine.
Mm.
She is, you know, from Colchis. Aeetes was her father.
Yes.
And she also, I think, the ointment she gave, the potion she gave to Jason had also the blood of Prometheus.
Right.
So she's definitely a figure that is very mysterious.
Mm.
And we are going to look at her. I think she's arguably the worst woman of antiquity.
Yeah, I think
of
so.
Of ancient
actually.
Greek lore.
Yeah.
I think.
Thought Clytemnestra was bad, folks. You hadn't seen nothing yet.
No. She arguably makes the top five, Clytemnestra.
Mm.
I would place Hera as top two, number two, for what she did to Heracles. We'll talk about it another time.
Yeah, sure.
But I think Medea is just the worst.
Yeah. No, I think it's a hard point to argue, to be honest with you. However, one of the things that Euripides does so well in the play is explain to you why she is like this. Right.
I want to point out one thing, though, because people must remember two things. Last time we did the Argonautica by Apollonius of Rhodes. Apollonius comes much after Euripides. Mm. But the myth was old. There were many people who wrote about the myth. It was Apollonius, Pseudo-Apollodorus, then Ovid afterwards.
Is Hesiod mentioned the myth?
I don't think he did.
Mm. But it would have been known.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. All of these myths, they were essentially local myths.
Right.
And Hesiod tried to sort of systematize some of the very basic events to structure our understanding of myth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great writer about myth in the 20th century. He was a disciple of Carl Jung, or a follower, if you'd like
to
put it better. He was a Hungarian called Karl Kereny.
Mm.
Has wonderful books about Greek mythology, and he separates it well in the age of the gods and the age of the heroes. And now we're in the age of the heroes. Jason is in that age. It's late, but all of these myths, they arose spontaneously, and Hesiod comes very late into the picture. It's just that we read Hesiod because that's when
we get it.
But
some writing.
All of these myths, they spontaneously arose.
Mm, absolutely. And so let's just begin before we start talking about the play then, by just recapping how we got here in the first place, because there is a little bit of connective tissue that we don't have as much of. Now, this is actually mentioned in Ovid's Metamorphosis, where it's explained that when... So Jason, thanks to Medea, right? Medea, Jason does not get the golden fleece without Medea. And this is obviously all a part of the divine plan of Hera, who goes to Aphrodite, who goes to Eros, and has Medea hit, penetrated with the arrow of love. So she gets hit by Eros's arrow. And she falls madly in love with Jason, this Greek, civilized, charming foreigner who's come from Hellas on this daring mission and, you know, is now set to defy her father. Because of this overbearing love, this love to the point of destruction that is kind of like forced onto Medea by divine plan, providence, this puts her in a position where, as a result of this, she betrays her father. She helps Jason to win these unwinnable tasks of yoking the fire-breathing giant bronze bulls and also, you know, putting to sleep the dragon. And also, as well, the dragon's teeth as well. He fights these sown men, these warriors born from the ground. Basically, all things that he would not have been able to achieve had it not been for Medea. The entirety of Book 4 of the Argonautica is based on them trying to escape her father and her father's wrath. Medea is put into a position where if she stays in Colchis, Aeetes will probably murder her.
Yeah.
Right? He will probably murder her. He is deeply betrayed and he does not take it lightly. As a result of this, Medea leaves behind home, place, family, her own sort of like her own daily routine in her life where she just goes to pray for the goddess Hecate.
Her people, her family,
yes.
Her polis. There is definitely a sense of her being stranded and a sense of sojourn.
Mm-hmm.
Her being away from home that she's going to carry till the very end.
Yes.
And one thing to mention, two things actually, was that the gods, Aphrodite, was behind the media falling in love with Jason. And there was a very crucial moment where media did something that wasn't, that doesn't seem to be, to have been part of the divine plan. She could have done it without it.
Right.
She agreed to kill her brother Apsyrtus.
Yes.
Or for Jason to kill her brother Apsyrtus when Aetes ordered Apsyrtus and the Colchians to start chasing Medea and the Argonauts. There was a point where several people from the Argonauts were saying, well, maybe we need to strike, to make a deal with Apsyrtus or
sort it out. He seems like a reasonable man.
Sort it out somehow. He is not Aetes.
No.
But Medea straightforwardly said, no, we have to kill him.
Yep. And as a result of this, and as a result of many things that go on, whenever it looks like Medea is faced, or where the men are even just considering the prospect of not taking her back with them, she goes on these vitriolic, vengeful, like just monologues about how they've all betrayed her and they're all gonna, she's gonna make them suffer for betraying them. Now, this is all of very obvious foreshadowing. When they finally get back to Iolcos, where Jason has been trying to come back into his birthright, and so he can inherit it from his usurper uncle, Peleus, Medea has Peleus's own daughters murder him. And as a result of all of this as well, and her otherness, how foreign she is, her dark sorcery, a whole slew of reasons, the people of Iolcos just reject her. They don't want her. They don't want Jason. And Jason and Medea are forced to flee to Corinth. So we're still in Hellas. We go to Corinth, and this is where we pick up the beginning of the play. And so, as usual, I suppose it makes sense to begin at the beginning, and I'll just read an extract. So we have here, our play begins with the nurse. Now, this is very interesting because she goes on to show a great amount of empathy for Medea's position. So it reads, "If only they had never gone, if the Argo's hull never had winged out through the grey-blue jaws of rock and on towards Colchis, if that pine on Pelion's slopes had never felt the axe and fallen to put oars into those heroes' hands who went at Peleus' bidding to fetch the golden fleece, then neither would Medea, my mistress, ever have set sail from the walled town of Iolcos, mad with love for Jason, nor would she, when Peleus' daughters, at her instance, killed their father, have come with Jason and her children to live here in Corinth, where, coming as an exile, she has earned the citizens' welcome. While to Jason she is all obedience, and in marriage that's the saving thing, when a wife obediently accepts her husband's will. But now her world has turned to enmity and wounds her where her affection's deepest. Jason has betrayed his own sons, and my mistress for a royal bed, for alliance with the king of Corinth. He has married Glauca, Creon's daughter, poor Medea. Scorned and ashamed, she raves, invoking every vow and solemn pledge that Jason made her, and calls the gods as witnesses. What thanks she has received for her fidelity. She will not eat. She lies collapsed in agony, dissolving the long hours in tears. Since first she heard of Jason's wickedness, she has not raised her eyes or moved her cheek from the hard ground. And when her friends reason with her, she might be a rock or wave of the sea. For all she hears, unless maybe she turns away her lovely head, speaks to herself alone and wails aloud for her dear father, her own land and home, which she betrayed and left, to come here with this man who now spurns and insults her. Poor Medea, now she learns through pain what blessings they enjoy who are not uprooted from their native land. She hates her sons. To see them is no pleasure to her. I am afraid some dreadful purpose is forming in her mind. She is a frightening woman. No one who makes an enemy of her will carry off an easy victory."
As you said before, people are scared of her. She's a sorceress, And she does have a track record of success.
Yes.
I'd say her CV is not empty when it comes to killing people. And also beings that are incredibly powerful, like Talos, the bronze giant in Crete.
Right.
She is definitely a force to be reckoned with. Now, when it comes to the nurse, one of the things I get is that it's so obvious to the nurse that, in a way, media has been wronged.
Yes.
But also that she is a danger to her children.
Mm.
And when we talk about a nurse there, there's a high probability that Euripides wanted to say that the nurse was growing the children up.
Mm.
So it was not their biological mother, but could have been their mummy,
yes,
in a way.
Yes, I see what you mean. And so there's a huge amount just in that introduction alone. We understand completely now that every choice that Medea made to go with Jason has been severed away and mismanaged to the point where she regrets all of it. If she could live her life over again, she would not have gone with Jason.
Yes, and here is, we have to mention two things.
Mm.
The royal bed that
right.
she mentions, and then something else about the way she looks at her children.
Mm.
So at some point, Jason and the Argonauts and Medea went to the island of the Phaeacians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Alcinous was a king of the Phaeacians. He also features in the Odyssey, which concerns events that happened one generation afterwards.
Right.
Basically, Alcinous is the king of the Phaeacians there, and he tells them that the only way that he can grant them refuge is if they get married. So they get married in a rush. So
yeah.
it's like a Las Vegas marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't the royal marriage that Medea had in mind.
No.
And that she could expect, given what she was told.
And what Jason was expected to inherit on the other side of it.
Yes. And then when they go to Greece,
mm-hmm.
Jason is contemplating marrying another woman, and he is being offered another woman.
Yes.
A princess.
Young, beautiful. All the things that a man would wish for.
So it's like she got her wish, but she also didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that came to nothing. And the second point, which is the most important part of her character, because you could say that on the first case, she has been in a way wronged.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason will sort of tend, as we will see, I'm sure, does tend to completely minimize the extent to which Medea has helped him and what she has sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing for her, because she is a villain.
Yes, yes.
She
absolutely.
Is a villain.
In a way, this is Jason's tragedy.
Yes. So she is the villain, in a way, who has been wronged. But the most weird thing about her is that she looks at her children and instead of looking at her children as their children first, she looks at them as Jason's children first.
Mm.
She looks at them like Jason's children more than she looks at them as her children.
Yes. It's interesting as well, isn't it, that actually you would think that she would see her own children as perhaps the one good thing that came of all of this.
Yes, yes.
And yet it's not.
Yes.
At all.
At all. And you do hear women who regret spending a significant amount of their life with a man saying, well, at least the only good thing was my children.
Mm. Yeah.
You hear this.
Yeah, you do.
When it comes to women who regret spending a lot of time with a particular man,
mm-hmm.
just if they think they've wronged or if they have been wrong. But Medea doesn't have this.
No, not at all. Well, she's not, there is nothing really maternal about her character whatsoever. And so we see from here that in their flight to Corinth, Jason has seen, being the arch pragmatist that he is, a golden opportunity that is happens to have found Creon, who is the king of Corinth. He only has one child, which is his daughter, who is unmarried. And so he has no, Creon has no male heir to inherit his kingdom. Along comes Jason. Now, and Jason is obviously very, very famous, even though he didn't come into his birthright and set himself up as king of Iolcos. He is a very renowned figure for his great deeds aboard the Argo and all of the tales and the men that he fought with and the stories that came from it, the legend, right? And so Creon sees an attempt to marry his family into that legend, right? That's really what's happening here. And obviously also to give some peace of mind for the fact that he is an older man and it will bring some much needed stability to the succession of Corinth after he's gone. Now, Jason looks at this and just says, yeah, sounds good to me, right? Jason first agreed to marry Medea. And I think when I say agreed, I should actually be more technical and say he swore an oath before the gods that he would marry Medea and be faithful to her and, you know, love her. And so for Jason to just cast Medea aside for the sake of his own status, his own political expediency, because yes, I needed Medea to get the Golden Fleece to come back to Iolcos and then rightfully inherit my kingdom, but I don't have my kingdom. And so the plan needs to change, right? Jason is just adapting to the latest occurrence, whereas Medea is saying, no, that thing that happened all the way back then, that still binds us together, and you have no right to try and escape from it.
Yes. And one thing that we have to mention is that at the time, and for a long time afterwards, there was this idea that without your polis, you're nobody. So she became a nobody in that respect for Jason. But also Jason became a nobody after her actions. So in this case, it's not like he just had a fling and he met the other woman and you know, they got on and he completely neglected his family. It was that they were essentially exiled.
If you enjoyed this piece of premium content from the Lotus Eaters, head to our website where you can find more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.